RNN.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel.
Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Calby, and I welcome our listeners to another Connecting the Dots radio program with Bob Fanning. Bob's been a guest on our radio program before a number of times, but every time I get a lot of requests to bring him back, and I am now in the process of bringing Bob back for, I believe, the sixth time that he's been on my radio show. And, Bob, I want to welcome you to the show. And I want to start out with, first of all, thanking you for having the courage to come on Connecting the Dots to tell the truth to our listeners about the recent events at the Fed and how the economy is being set up for another financial crisis that will make 2008 look like a cakewalk. I know that you are very concerned about what has been happening recently at the Fed and with the interbank lending, and I want to give you an opportunity, first of all, to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then let's start in this discussion for tonight.
Well, I guess the summary is I'm old, but I got started when I was young. And when I started on Wall Street, I was 24. I'm 64 now. And when I got licensed on Wall Street, Richard Nixon was saying he wasn't threatening to buy one. So that was
quite a while ago.
And I got started on Wall Street. And
that was towards
Phil's dividends and interest
for the third stock.
What's that about, Dan?
Bob, I'm not sure what's going on, but the last minute has been totally garbled. Are you in a location where you're having problem transmitting via the phone?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm at 5,300 feet.
Now you're clear. Now you're clear. The first little bit. I mean, this is the first clear words I've heard. So I'm
not sure
what the problem was.
Okay, I'll go out on the porch. I'm in a cabin at 5,300 feet in Prairie, Montana. Here, I'm outside. Anyway, I got started on Wall Street in 1974, and I was a natural in fixed income. When I was with Payne Webber in 1975, I saw I could do big trades as a 25-year-old kid by working with corporate cash managers and repos and reverse repos. Cash is being managed at every central bank, every one of the corporations in the Russell 2000, and all the private companies. They manage it with commercial paper, money market funds, reverse repos, and repos. And so do central banks. And I got started with Beatrice Foods in 1975, managing their cash. And then I got so good at fixed income, there was the founder of the NFL, the founder of the Chicago Bears, George Halas, was my big preferred stock customer. And we traded preferred stock so he could get the dividend with the interest exclusion. My preferred stock trader was Larry Kudlow, who is now Mr. Trump's chief economic advisor. Mr. Trump did a real good job picking Mr. Kudlow, and he did a real good job picking the chairman of our Fed. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, by the name of Jay Powell, is a dear friend of our mutual friend, Dan, who
right.
is Charles Ortel.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Ortel and Jay Powell worked together at Dillon Reed. And Mr. Ortel has stated that Jay Powell is a brilliant and honorable man. So let's leave all of the oogie boogie conspiracy stuff out of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm very, very concerned about the precipitous fall off or cessation in interbank lending. And we're connecting the dots right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This interbank lending, which is the collateral that is posted in repos and reverse repos, we as a society, a global financial system, are petrified, absolutely petrified, that the Federal Reserve is going to shrink its balance sheet. They've stated so themselves. And they're going to take all of the toxic garbage that they put in their own portfolio back in 2008, the special investment vehicles, the collateralized debt instruments,
mm-hmm.
and all of the garbage that they picked up in 2008, now they're going to shrink their balance sheet and sell this stuff into the system. And if this collateral leaves the Federal Reserve, it can and will be posted all over the globe between central banks, between companies. And what we've taken is the lepers from Father Damien's leper colony, and turned them loose into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're seeing a fall off in interbank lending. My recommendation to Mr. Powell, Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is to reverse engineer all of this garbage and make sure that the most toxic of it is taken out and quarantined forever. And that would mean that a lot of non-performing real estate would have to be quarantined with it. So this will have a societal. Society will have to carry this crucifix. Once again, we carried it in 2008
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with a $13 trillion bailout, where the banksters not only bailed out their bad debts, but gave themselves great big bonuses for destroying our financial system. Let's get into the human consequences of their actions. We saw in the movie The Big Short, where all the scumbag mortgage brokers were congratulating themselves. We saw that 40,000 people die per every 1% uptick in the unemployment rate. This is due to the action of bankers and central bankers. We now have learned, thanks to the Los Angeles Times, that the number one cause of homelessness is foreclosure. So if we foreclose on these properties that are in these toxic securities, or if the new owners of these toxic securities force foreclosure, then we're putting people out on the streets, and society has to provide for the homeless. And basically all you've done is arbitrage. And we've arbitraged from the status of those who are not performing on their loan, their mortgages. We've transferred them from the bankers to society.
Right.
And society, once again, picks up the tab for this prearranged trade.
Mm-hmm.
That I call the Greenspan put. Go ahead,
the
Dan.
Greenspan put. Well, no, first of all, I want our listeners to understand one thing. We do not here in any way deal with conspiracy theories. We deal with conspiracy facts. And so anyone that's listening to this program, we will deal with facts and not with with theories, first of all. Secondly, that 2008, what happened in 2008 with the derivatives market, that's really what it all boiled down to, is all the casino gambling that had been going on between the investment bankers and the security holders that and guarantors at places like ADM and places like that, they were playing games with the finances. They were cooking the books, and in the process, they damn near destroyed our entire financial system, and we came so close to losing everything. And as
we,
you said, they bailed
we
themselves out. Well, we did lose, and they bailed themselves out, and they stuck the American people with the bill for that, and believe me, folks, that bill has not gone away. That bill is sitting there to be collected on. And what Bob is doing tonight is to tell everybody that, okay, now that the economy is doing a little better because President Trump is there instead of President Obama, who is a hardcore. Well, to call him a Marxist would be a flattering statement. But in any case, the economy is finally starting to come back. And what is happening now is that they're taking a path that could totally destroy the resurgence in our economy. Okay, now it's your turn, Bob.
Well, God bless Mr. Trump. Every time he makes an appointment, I just clap. Mr. Powell is brilliant. Mr. Kudlow is brilliant. And I know Mr. Kudlow. I worked with him. He was my preferred stock trader. But let's go back to Greenspan and stick with Trump. Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump said, and he said it loud and clear, that the system is rigged. Well, I bring you back to the year 2000, when the alpha director at the Bank for International Settlements, Alan Greenspan, walked in there and he said, we will now give real estate double collateral value. Greenspan, at that moment in time, created the real estate bubble. He incentivized all of the central bankers at the Bank for International Settlement to create the pump. That was later followed by the dump after the derivatives were set in place, along with the dumping of all of the toxic loans that were on the too big to fail banks' books, which include real estate, residential mortgage-backed securities, and commercial mortgage-backed securities, i.e. box stores and strip malls. So we pump up the real estate everybody turns their home into a cash station, and it's good times from 2000 until 2007. But then Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns couldn't help themselves. They pushed out all sorts of crap. And then the Federal Reserve at Maiden Lane, which is a back door to the New York Fed, they created these toxic securities that took down Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and pretty much the global, the American financial system by pumping up real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And they with the real estate, all sorts of bad loans were put in, special investment vehicles, collateralized debt obligations, and then the derivatives were aimed at the most vulnerable parts of the most vulnerable tranches of those special investment vehicles. And when it blew up, as they had rigged it to blow up, it took AIG, it took Citibank with it, and Dr. Michael Hudson called it the $13 trillion cover story. Mm-hmm. So we have, through these collateralized, or through these credit default swaps, money was taken from the taxpayer and targeted directly to people who were in on the rigged trade. And Mr. Greenspan started this rigged trade at the Bank for International Settlements when he gave real estate double collateral value in comparison to things like Caterpillar tractors receivables. Give me a break. It's rigged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, people need to understand that when that bailout happened, the bailout was done primarily to save all of these banks from being totally insolvent because so many of them had bought these toxic debt instruments, these derivatives, and it was a large part of their portfolio. What did the Fed and what did our Congress do to correct that problem after 2008?
Well, Hank Paulson went and got on his knee right next to Nancy Pelosi, and he begged for $787 billion to back these collateralized debt obligations, these credit default swaps. And like an idiot, she gave it to him. Basically, what should have happened is we should have bankrupted these too big to fails, split them up, and told them that they were no longer allowed to participate as investment bankers by issuing securities. The Glass-Steagall Act was in position for a reason. As soon as you gave these banks the authority to create securities, they created the securities with garbage, total trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shoved it into the system, the global financial system, they hedged them with flawed hedges from Citibank and AIG. And these credit default swaps had to be paid off. The taxpayer paid them off. And what we, to this day, do not know, and only a total forensic audit would prove it, is were these one-to-one hedges? Don't forget, I'm from the Board of Trade, beginning in 1981. Were they one-to-one hedges, or were they 100-to-1 or 1,000-to-1 hedges where those in the know, the Henry Kissingers and the Hillary Clintons of the world, those Adnan Aki, those in the know got a chance to buy these derivatives for pennies on the dollar. And then when the system blew up, pennies on the dollar down turned into $100 bills. And they made off like bandits. We'll never know who was the recipient of these $13 trillion.
Right. And when Ben Bernanke was asked before Congress who received those funds, he refused to answer that.
Bingo.
Yep. He just said, they asked, will you tell us who they are? And he said, no, just as simple as that. One word answer. All right, but Bob, what I'm getting at, and I know you're going to let people know right between the eyes, what did they actually do to fix the fact that, first of all, that we had dropped Glass-Steagall like a hot rock so that mortgage banks and other banks could get into, commercial banks could get in to investment banking. That was the first tragedy. And the second tragedy was that we had, $250 billion in derivatives floating out there, which is basically nothing short of a Las Vegas-style casino gamble. What did we do to reel that back in or to pass laws that would restrict the amount of activity in that?
Absolutely nothing. The same players from 08 are still in place. Nobody has been prosecuted. No forensic audit has been performed. Congress turns a blind eye because Congress gets paid off from the guys who own the printing press. So that is not an embellishment. The two big to fail banks, control of board of directors at the Federal Reserve, and the two big to fail banks just go to the printing press and they put the people who will not give them any problems in office. So we have Montana themselves. At this moment, Montana has a music teacher, an empty suit, sitting on the Senate Banking Committee. That's an in-your-face disgrace to the American people. That senator needs to be removed tonight. He never gave Main Street a dime, but he gave Wall Street $13 trillion.
Yeah. Well, and in my point and your point of this is that instead of correcting an obvious problem that very nearly took us completely down as a country, instead of solving the problem, they did absolutely nothing. And now, tell me, Bob, how much bigger is that problem today than it was in 2008?
It's about to get extremely bad as they sell this toxic garbage off into 150 countries, into their central banks, and into the marketplace, where all of a sudden those who get these toxic securities may do different things with them than the Federal Reserve did, that we may have a homeless rate that the country can't even tolerate. We may have bank failures, and the bank failures won't be the two big to fails that own the printing press.
On the Federal Reserve, sure.
They own the Federal Reserve and every soul on it. What has been set up in the fourth quarter of 2014 was what I call the Jamie Dimon Bankster bail-in bill. Bail-in is different than bail-out. The Federal Reserve, or the FDIC, is tapped out after 08. So what they have, a line for themselves to back this $1.25 quadrillion in derivatives, OTC derivatives, is the depositors in all 6,700 community banks are going to back the derivatives when we have a counterparty failure. And when there is a counterparty failure on either side of these derivative transactions, when there is a counterparty failure, it will be like dominoes,
mm-hmm.
and everybody will fail. And legal departments at our major institutions will say, no more OTC derivatives. And then just like Warren Buffett, who bought a company that had a bunch of derivatives, he lost billions of dollars in trying to unwind the garbage. What do you think it's going to be like for society when they haven't got the business acumen that Warren Buffett has?
Right. Right.
So,
and
I can see a homelessness.
Just so that our listeners understand, what was the Dodd-Frank bill? How did that actually impact or affect the banking cartel? How did that actually improve things for the banking cartel?
Yeah, the too big to fails walk off and do anything they damn please, as evidenced by William K. Black, the number one white-collar crime investigator in America since the Keating Five and the savings and loan debacle in the 80s. Dr. Black said, and he said it a lot of different times in a lot of different ways, Dr. Black said that the reason, the sole reason for the financial collapse of 2008, the tens of millions of people had lost their homes, the tens of millions of people had lost their jobs, the sole reason for the financial collapse, according to Dr. Black, is because the Federal Reserve refused, I underscore the word refused to enforce their own anti-fraud provision. The Federal Reserve is nothing but a bunch of scam artists who are working for the too-big-to-fail banks who pull scams just like Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo just pulled one, and we're supposed to be in a mea culpa state from 2008. The fraud is a business model for these too-big-to-fail banks and their empty suits sitting on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. So if Mr. Trump is going to take control of our lives and pretend and stop pretending like he's in it for the forgotten man, Mr. Trump should put his own designee in on the Federal Reserve Board, who is the anti-fraud regulator. Yeah, I realize that they all have a big axe to grind about deregulation, but let's regulate fraud. And if Mr. Trump really wants to take control of this situation, Mr. Trump should oversee the orderly liquidation of these toxic securities and make damn sure. That they're reverse engineered and all the worst garbage is taken out of the securities that are being sold.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump can take control of this situation, and I call on him to do it.
Well, and I know that Jay Powell is very highly regarded by Charles Ortel. As you say, they work together. He knows him quite well, and he feels that he is one of the men with real, true integrity. And I'm hopeful that the Trump administration, as they have done right along for the last year, will very quietly just do what needs to be done and do it in an effective manner, and then let everybody scream bloody murder when he does it, because obviously the deep state would love to take President Trump down, and he is an amazing man that he's managed to stop so much of this stuff and to accomplish what he has.
Dan, you corrected me in an earlier conversation when we brought up the word deep state. The word deep state is a synonym for the Federal Reserve Board. So the Federal Reserve Board are the actors at the central bank who act only in the best interest of the too big to fail banks. And it's high time that Mr. Trump interjected himself in on this equation. And, you know, if the liquidation of these securities is done in an orderly way, Mr. Trump can preside over that. Mr. Trump and Mr. Powell can preside over that. So the interbank lending system doesn't freeze up. And Mr. Trump can also find out where the toxic garbage is, so it's not dumped on an unsuspecting, already weakened pension system. Let me speak to that.
Yeah,
in order to carry a $1.25 quadrillion derivatives book, they had to have zero interest rates. Like all other commodities, these OTC derivatives had a cost to carry. So our monetary policy was zero. And it was 0% interest rates for a decade. Well, that crippled pension funds in places like California and Illinois. You know, the rule of 72 works in both directions. And these pension funds have been dramatically weakened by the Federal Reserve policy of zero interest rates for the last decade. Now they want to dump these securities, these toxic securities, into our pension system by enticing brokers with three full points in commissions. You know,
wow.
2008 was a cakewalk if they put this garbage into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think too, Bob. And the fact that the pension funds and the investment funds have been used as a mop, let's say, or a sponge to absorb these things in the past. That's exactly what happened in 2008. That's why so many of the pension funds nearly went broke as a result of the derivatives book that they were carrying in 2008. Now that derivatives market is roughly 2.5 times as big as it was in 2008. So they did nothing to fix the problem, and they now have created 2.5 times as big a problem. What can Donald Trump, what can President Trump do effectively to keep this monkey off his back?
I didn't hear you, Dan. Where are you? Are you still there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm still here. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I'm walking around the cabin. I better go back outside.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So, what can Trump do?
Yeah.
What I would love to see Mr. Trump do is sit down with Charles Ortel, William K. Black, Dennis Santiago, and R. Christopher Whalen. It was Christopher Whalen's father, Richard Whalen, who waltzed into Jimmy Carter's office with a guy that was 6'9" and had a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And Mr. Whalen Sr. said, "Mr. Carter, this is Mr. Volcker. He's your new chair of the Federal Reserve." And it was Paul Volcker that saved America's hide back in the late 70s, early 80s. So Mr. Trump can sit down and ask these people, Mr. Black about fraud. Mr. Whalen is a brilliant financier, as is Mr. Ortel. I had a dinner at Sidecar with Mr. Ortel and Mr. Whalen. And start to seek the counsel of them as to how to take control of America's financial system away from the too big to fail banks, who have clearly used fraud as a business model, and they intend to do it again, as evidenced by jamming these toxic securities into the global financial system.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you and I both talked about this on numerous occasions, Bob, but the bottom line is I do believe that those who believe in globalism, the deep state, as it were, are fully intending to destroy the United States monetary system, the dollar. Take the dollar down and replace everything with a world currency that is totally digital. And if they do that, every transaction is totally digital, we will have absolutely lost our constitutional republic.
And we will all be communists. That's the ultimate goal, is communism, whether they use the AK-47 or held by Chinamen, or whether they use the world financial system. Their goal is to collapse our system, our free enterprise capitalistic system, and replace it with communism, their brand of communism, the George Soros brand of communism. So if people are lost in our words that we've spoken today, they may be a little too technical. I would say that if you believe in capitalism, if you want your children to be raised in a constitutional republic, speak up to your elected representative and tell them that you're very concerned about the Federal Reserve liquidating their portfolio full of toxic securities. They're currently quarantined like the lepers on Father Damien's leper colony, Molokai. These toxic securities are quarantined. Let's have somebody explain to the president why it's so important to jettison these securities from the Federal Reserve, where we know where they're at and where we know how to study them.
Mm-hmm. And it would be extremely important that President Trump, that these people have played these derivative books and made billions and billions and billions of dollars in the process, in fat commissions and all this stuff. That's where the money ought to come from. That's where the bailout ought to come from, is out of those monies that they literally finagled and conned out of the entire system. And mom and pop America are the last people that ought to be bailing these people out.
Right, against their wills, from their 6,700 community banks, unsuspecting, when these derivatives blow up, when the system blows up, then the Jamie Dimon bankster bail-in bill goes into effect, and they see some percentage of what you've got saved in the bank. So if finance is too intimidating to you folks, how would you like to wake up after 30 years at your job and find out that half of your savings account was seized by the International Swaps Dealers Association to make good on fraud-based toxic derivatives, as well as the toxic securitizations that came out of these too big to fail banks? They took advantage of the repeal of Glass-Steagall. They took advantage in a big way, and they had fraud as a big business model.
Yep, they do. And Bob, if people don't want to believe that could actually happen, take a look at what happened in Greece a few years back when they decided that the country was financially bankrupt. They went in and did exactly that. They took 30% or 40% of the Greeks' savings, and they can just as easily, that test model, they got away with it. They could just as easily do it in the United States.
They did it to the Russian oligarchs in Cyprus. They can do it to Joe Sixpack. And the only way to stop it is for Mr. Trump to intervene with his friends, Mr. Powell and Mr. Kudlow. And to let's, you're only as sick as your secret, Mr. Trump. America is only as sick as its secrets. This secret that the too big to fail banks have fraud as a business model, and they have malice in their hearts to the average American, that they're sheep to be sheared. It's time to change this attitude. We don't work for the too big to fail banks. We're not here for their to be made into sheep for them. This is a constitutional republic. We're gonna make sure that everybody deals on a fair playing field. And I'm not paying for the too big to fail banks derivatives,
mm-hmm.
no matter how bad they are. And regardless of whether Alan Greenspan or Joe Bernanke said they're private treaty contracts, bullshit. If the American financial system, if the global financial system is at risk because of them, they're not private treaty contracts. They're everybody's business.
They are everybody's business. And, you know, the bottom line, of course, you know this as well as anybody. Those in our listening audience that still think that the Federal Reserve is a federal and that there are reserves, well, welcome to the New World Order, because the Federal Reserve is a private consortium of privately held banks, and many of them are European banks, incidentally. And there are zero reserves because they took us off the gold standard many decades ago. Tricky Dick took us off the gold standard in 1971. And so there is what is backing our international banking cartel that run the Federal Reserve are the backs and the sweat and the hard work of average American citizens.
The full faith and credit of the United States of America, these too big to fail bankers have decided to make the full faith and credit of the United States of America compromised with their policies created at the Federal Reserve Corporation. The essence of a corporation is governance, funding, and control. As long as the Federal Reserve has control of the printing press, whether it's a digital printing press or an actual printing press, it has got to be studied and maybe even taken away from these too big to fail banks. The only way that politicians can be corrupt is to buy them. And the only way to buy them is with the printing press at the Federal Reserve. And you and I had a conversation before, Dan, and you corrected me when I called it the deep state. You said it's a synonym for Federal Reserve.
Yeah, well, and you're right. That is exactly what it is, because without money, they can't buy people. And without buying people, you can't gain power. And the system is predicated on money, power, and control. And that wouldn't happen if we were a legitimate national economy based on gold and silver backing and still under full control of Congress and the Treasury.
Well, we have outstanding people in place with Mr. Kudlow and Mr. Powell. I implore Mr. Kudlow and Mr. Powell to have a conference with the president and bring in Dennis Santiago, R. Christopher Whalen, Charles Ortel, and especially William K. Black, and find out what we're going to do to protect the full faith and credit of the United States of America, the 6,700 community banks, from the International Swap Stealers Association and the too big to fail banks, especially Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're right at the bottom of the swamp, and they make a core part of that swamp. Bob, would you tell our listeners what you see as far as a forensic audit of the Fed?
Well, a forensic audit, it, by its very name, means that you suspect a crime. 2008 was a crime. It was a premeditated crime where Goldman Sachs took down Citibank. They forced Citibank to, through Robert Rubin, they forced Citibank to write these credit default swaps, which blew up Citibank. Thomas G. Maharis wrote the contracts. Goldman Sachs passed it off as their own product. The same kind of garbage happened at AIG and brought down a AAA-rated insurance company. Joe Cassano did it out of the city of London, I believe, or Wilton, Connecticut, one or the other. So what we have to do, in answer to your question, is what should have been done in 2008. All of these toxic securities have been brought into the Federal Reserve or Fannie Mae or wherever they brought them. Reverse engineer them. And the worst of the worst, get it out of the system, quarantine them. And if I was president of the United States, I'd have as a primary goal some sort of debt jubilee on anybody who was able to last a decade without losing his house.
Yeah, well, you know, it was funny because the amount of money that was used to bail out the too big to fail banks could have paid off every mortgage in default in this country. And instead of doing that, they paid off the people that caused the problem in the first place. And you mentioned this, but Goldman Sachs, I mean, there were billions of dollars in bonuses that were paid the year after the bail-in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how in the world did that happen when the taxpayers were put on the hook for the whole thing? That's why we've got a $21 trillion debt, and we don't even know how much pending liabilities that are out there that are unaccounted for, because there's a pile of them at the Federal Reserve.
I want your listeners to listen to this little anecdote. I have a group of about 45 guys on an email list. One of them is the founder of a $30 billion bank who I've known for 30 or 40 years. And when the meltdown occurred, I screamed like a raped ape that Wall Street was getting all of the money and Main Street was getting nothing, not a penny. And what was said to me after like a week of going around about this stuff, this chairman and founder and preeminent financier, he said, "Bruiser, we're not going to lend anything to anybody until the real estate market is cleared." Well, what does he mean by clearing the real estate market? He means by seizing everybody's house that they can seize and then liquidating that collateral themselves for their own enrichment. So if America wants to stop the bleeding, let's stop the foreclosures. If America doesn't want to pay for more homeless people who are homeless for the sole reason of foreclosure, let's address this problem. You've had 10 years to address it. Reverse engineer these securities. Take the worst of the worst, stick it into quarantine, and leave it there. And forgive all those people. If you can give the banksters $13 trillion, according to Dr. Michael Hudson, then you could, then it's chump change to relieve, to have a debt jubilee on those who were strong enough to weather the last decade. The last decade that was set up with malice aforethought by Alan Greenspan at the Bank for International Settlements in 2000.
Well, and Bob, part of the thing that we're seeing today is that many of the same kind of lending policies that were prevalent in 2004-2005 that led up to this financial crisis, a lot of those same policies, zero down, that sort of thing, are starting to reappear. And how in the world could that possibly happen? But I can tell you at the same time, the reporting requirements that are being forced on small community banks are so onerous that many of those community banks are ready to throw in the towel, and many of them are being absorbed by the too big to fail banks. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely correct, and I'll go even one further. These people are harassed, constantly harassed by regulators that are putting their noses where they don't belong. I don't like that loan, get it off the balance sheet, is verbatim story. So the $30 billion bank that I referred to has an entire floor in a multi-hundred million dollar building, which is dedicated to regulators who hit the button on the elevator, go up to the chairman's office and say, I don't like this loan. Get it out of here. When the guy has had a 20-year relationship with the company. The extreme has been aimed at the community banks, while the too big to fails, like Wells Fargo, get away with murder. And they will continue to get away with murder as long as they regulate themselves. So, Mr. Mm-hmm. Trump, if you want to be the most powerful president that ever existed, take control of the bank regulator at the Federal Reserve. Have them report to you once a quarter and make sure that the fraud is being regulated rather than being mm-hmm. ignored.
Right.
This is where
right.
you can become the biggest president ever to have lived, is take control of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, Bob, would you explain to our listeners, in case they don't really understand the interbank lending, that's what really froze up our entire economy and literally froze it up to the point where just about every bank in the country was on the verge of failure. Tell us how that interbank lending and how little there is going on right now and how that impacts, let's say, mom and pop America.
Well, this is a bifurcated answer. You have pointed out 2008 when Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns were going under, literally. And everybody was afraid to take everybody else's collateral in trades. So the money market funds were about to go under the buck, and nobody was doing business with anybody. There was a loss of confidence. Nobody trusted anybody. So now, with a decade under our belt and supposedly a system that had purged itself, and with banksters knowing that they have gotten by the statute of limitations on fraud, nobody's going to drop through a trap door. It ain't going to happen. Well, we now have 2018. And they want all of this toxic garbage that the Federal Reserve bought up and expanded their balance sheet, blew up their balance sheet is the way it would be phrased. They want to shrink their balance sheet by liquidating these securities. These securities have no place in civilization. these securities have to be reverse engineered and retired, and society has to make sure that it's not injected into our counterparty central banks, 150 central banks, or especially not into our pension system, no matter how much the commission buried in the securities are. That's what's going to destroy America is the commissions in these securities.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's show with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. God bless. Good night. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.